Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This verse isn't just for Easter, you know. This is Wretched Radio. It's springtime. The temperatures are rising, unless, of course, you're in Minnesota, then frankly, they rarely rise. But the point is, the weather is getting somewhat better. Everybody's in a terrific mood. Why? It's almost Resurrection Sunday. The ladies put on their finery. The men, if they ever considered wearing pink, this would be the day that they could maybe get away with it. Florals, pastels, the egg bake, it's in the oven, the ham is cooked, we've got a schedule planned, we go to church, and the pastor exults. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it, and we all say amen. But how's about today? How's about the day after the election? How's about when the new president is potentially inaugurated? Will that be a day that we can rejoice in? That is the question. Don't know if you've ever taken a look at the context of that particular passage. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. We're not exactly sure when the particular circumstances. It may have been right at the exile of Moses. It could have been a part of the captivity, but it seems like it was more the former than the latter, at least according to different theologians. Nevertheless, listen to some of the context in Psalm 18 where we're going to rejoice and be glad in this particular day. The opening verse, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. If you're Lutheran, you pray that a lot every single time that you have a meal. That probably will come out of your mouth, but listen to the rest of the chapter. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. All nations, verse 10, surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. Do you hear what's going on in the life of this individual? Clearly, they went through a season of difficulty, and now they're rejoicing. Nevertheless, the question for us is, can we rejoice during the suffering? Not just when it's done, but during the suffering. And here is where I think we need to be a little bit careful, because as is typically the case for us evangelicals, we tend to whiplash from one ditch to the other. Hey, this is a really hard time that we're potentially facing here, so all we're going to do is rejoice. Well, no, I don't think that's exactly correct either. For to who reasons? If you'd be so kind to flip your Bibles. Oh, sorry, this isn't a sermon. But if you take a look at David at the death of Saul and Jonathan, this is a really, really instructive passage for us, because David, before just jumping into, all right, I'm taking over, here's the plans, this is what we're going to be doing, it's going to get good from here because it's been kind of a mess underneath Saul. What does he do? He instructs everybody in Israel to, first of all, memorize this dirge. It's a time where David is recounting the life of Saul and Jonathan. Even though Saul had been his enemy, he takes the time to say good things about him. That's fascinating, isn't it? Nevertheless, he instructs us to remember this verse so that we can remember history. Next time you tear down a monument, you might want to remember that. It's good to remember history, good, bad, or otherwise. Remember, King Saul was, let's face it, kind of a stinker king. And yet, David says, remember, don't forget your history. And then he takes the time to mourn. Let's not forget that as we enter into a season that seems clear is one at the very least is filled with uncertainty. That's at the very least. At the max, it's going to be full-blown persecution at some point. That just seems to be the way all arrows are pointing. That means something's changed. You don't have to watch Fox News to know. Our whole country appears to be changing. The things that you enjoyed when you grew up, the attitudes, the morals, the values, the love of liberty, it's dying or dead. Just rejoice and be glad in it. No, hold on a second. This does not mean that we just automatically whiplash from, well, this is a bummer, I'm going to put on my happy face. No, we have joy. We can still praise the Lord, but that doesn't mean you can't take the time to do a dirge. It doesn't mean that you can't take some time and go, well, this is really a big, fat bummer. That a place that used to enjoy religious liberty and freedom, that used to value life, that it is absolutely devolving right in front of our very eyes. Depending, of course, on how all of this sorts out, you've got a man promising he is going to enshrine Roe v. Wade. The Hyde Amendment is in place. And, hey, just a great big thank you to all the evangelicals who encourage people to just don't worry about how you vote. Every single time I see a piece of legislation that kills more babies, I'm going to thank them for that advice. Nevertheless, we can take some time to mourn. It's okay. It really is okay. And I think David gives us permission in 1 Samuel. I believe it's 2 Samuel 1. 2 Samuel 1, near the end of the chapter. It's the second half of the chapter. Remember, it's okay to remember, and even mourn if you're feeling kind of bummed about stuff. Let's not just whiplash into this phony, hey, we're just going to smile. God's on the throne, so it's all good. Well, no, it's not earthly all good right now. It's earthly bad, it appears right now, especially for Christians. And so it is okay to take some time to actually be sad. It doesn't mean that you don't believe in God's sovereignty. It means that you're, what's the word I'm looking for? Human. Second illustration to remind us, got to be careful with our emotions as we make our way through a tricky season. John is very instructive. So is the Gospel of Matthew. Okay, that's a dumb sentence. The whole Bible is really instructive. My point is, if you take a look at John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. So here's what we've got, a commandment to not let your heart be troubled. In other words, if you're troubled, it's a sin. Here's the interesting part. And I point this out in a little book I wrote called Stressed Out. The chapter right before John chapter 13, Jesus' heart is troubled because his buddy Judas is about to betray him. Uh-oh. Scoot back to John chapter 11, and we see Jesus being troubled again. Why? The death of Lazarus. So here's what you've got. Jesus being troubled, Jesus being troubled, Jesus saying, don't be troubled. Same word, by the way. So what is the issue here? What's going? Is there a contradiction? Jesus was sinning because he said, don't be troubled, but he himself was troubled? Clearly not, because Jesus didn't sin. Jesus was helping us with our emotions. He was telling us it's okay for us to be sad, to even be a little bit shaken, but not to do faithless worrying. Not to get to the point where it's like, it's all lost. Everything is undone. No, this too is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Whether we're through the season, in the season, out of the season, we are going to do both. And you don't have to necessarily do them simultaneously. If you are really sad about what you're seeing, fine. Take some time to mourn it. It's okay. How long? That's up to you. Most likely, we should probably take more time than less time. I was listening to a sermon from Alistair Begg, and he was lamenting when people go to the viewing. And he said, everybody's chatting. They're just chatting away and talking. I just want somebody to sit next to me, and let's just cry together. Let's think about death. It brings such clarity to life. We kind of rushed through this whole mourning business. Maybe if you're sad, it's okay. You're not sinning necessarily, as long as it's not faithless worrying. And so as I was thinking about Jesus, how he demonstrated it's okay to mourn at a death, whether it's a person or a nation. When a friend betrays, he still nevertheless tells us, don't let your heart be troubled. Now listen to the advice that he gives. So this is almost, in a sense, written like a psalm or a proverb to give you kind of a bing bang. Don't let your heart be troubled. Here's the anecdote and also the prognosis. Believe in God, believe also in me. Maybe, just maybe, if your heart is sinfully troubled. In other words, you think it's all lost, it's all undone, there's no hope for the future, you could die, you this is going to be the worst thing ever. Well, while it might be very, very difficult, I think Jesus might be saying, here's why you're feeling that way. Because you're not believing in God. You're not believing in me. Maybe, just maybe, as we make our way through the season, and we've only just begun without Karen Carpenter, this is going to be a season that demands we are biblical with our emotions. It's okay to mourn. You can let your heart be not sinfully troubled, but maybe this is revealed, you've been believing in something besides God, the system, the person, the party, the whatever it is that isn't Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, this is a time for us to adjust. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt many of your kitchen table conversations have involved health insurance. Mrs. Friel and I used to talk about it a lot, but not since we joined MediShare. Biblical health sharing. Over 400,000 Christians sharing each other's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. You can be confident they can handle your medical bills too. An average family through MediShare will save approximately $500 per month, and you'll be able to sleep at night. And right now, they're waiving their application fee during the month of November, which just might be open enrollment time for you. Please, maybe it's time for you to reconsider how you protect yourself and family. To learn more about MediShare, visit MediShare.com/wretched, MediShare.com/wretched, or call, they're nice folks, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Hey, thank you for joining us here on Wretched Radio today, and we want you to take some time to visit the Wretched website, wretched.org. The Wretched website contains amazing content, full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes. Our Wretched store contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. And the Wretched Library is where you can find a whole bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. And you can also visit our donate page where you can prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Because without the support of our listeners just like you, there would be no Wretched. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do this without you. You can find all of these resources available to you right now at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. God is incomprehensible. Finite humans cannot fully comprehend the one who created everything. Yet he has revealed himself in the Bible. And while we cannot know him exhaustively, we can know what is true about him. And once we are reconciled through Christ, we will never stop learning about him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Cool! We get to be in a Bible verse. This is Wretched Radio. When Paul instructed young Timothy in 2 Timothy to join him in his suffering, did we think it was just for that whippersnapper pastor? No, it was for we. You and I can now join Paul, Timothy, everyone who was written about in Fox's Book of Martyrs, to join in his suffering. What was the suffering that Paul went through? People didn't like him because of his message. He was a rabble-rouser. He was stirring up dissension. He was undermining the government. He was wrecking stuff. And they wanted to kill him. They beat him. They stoned him. They tortured him. And Paul writes to young Timothy and says, join me. Participate. Now, was he telling Timothy to just go running out in the street? Anybody want to flog me? No. Get ready, Timothy. Get ready. Join me. Don't be a coward in this. Don't back down. Don't shrink away. Join me in my suffering, because it's coming, Timothy. And so it did. The understanding is, I believe the year was 91 AD. He was stoned to death. He joined Paul in his suffering. And throughout the ages, the saints have. You and I, dear Christian, we have been phenomenally protected from that. It's just been incredible what we've had here in this era of American freedom and liberty. If you're on the younger side, you might have to Google those words, because we don't talk about them very much these days. We have lived in an unprecedented time, and it seems right now that we are being called to participate in the suffering of Paul. Well, with whom did Paul identify in his suffering? He pointed it back to the source, Jesus. Paul joined Jesus, Timothy joined Paul, and we are going to be joining all of them, keeping our eyes on the one who suffered before us. Are we better than our teacher? Are we somehow expecting that we deserve to escape it when he did not? We shouldn't be. And so it is, Christian. We join the saints throughout the ages in suffering. Let me bring you to Babylon. Psalm 137. If you've ever wondered what it was like to be in captivity, now, who knows what's going to happen? I know there's all kinds of talk and speculation. Just you watch your diet, I'll watch mine. Nevertheless, what might it be like to have been a Jew who was ripped from land, who was ripped from Jerusalem, who could no longer visit the temple, the place where God would dwell? What kind of a special place was that? The place that God would dwell. You got to go see it, be in it, participate in a ceremony, ripped away from everything. Listen to their hearts. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked us of a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion, as they probably laughed. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Now, who is our chief joy? It's the one that Jerusalem and the temple pointed to, Jesus Christ. Listen to their hearts. They were being mocked. They were slaves, and in a nasty, nasty way. I think it's safe to say way more barbaric than American slavery. These were nasty folks that were holding them captive. And you hear their hearts, their laments, and it's okay for us to lament. And yet, we know that every day is the day the Lord has made, and so we are going to find a way to rejoice and be glad in it. Because maybe, just maybe, we've taken our eye off the prize. Here's a question. What's the prize? Now, this is where we need to find our balance. There's nothing wrong with participating in the political system. There's nothing wrong with following politics. The implications are big. And yet, we need to remember what we're doing here. Romans 11, 36 specifically. For from him, through him, and to him are all things. Yay! Noah keeps going. To him be the glory. Everything is here for God's glory. Everything. And that means this election is here for God's glory. The recount process. If there were shenanigans. All these things are ultimately for God's glory. Do you remember the book of 1 Peter, the book of persecution? The book that tells us how we're supposed to endure during a rotten time and a rotten season? You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Remember who you are. You are a people set apart for God's own possession. That's who the church is. Why? Why? Here's our henna clause. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of a politician, a system, a party, a way of life. Nope. So that you can proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I are in his marvelous light, no matter how dark it gets in our culture. And we, therefore, the darker it gets, shine brighter so that we can proclaim his excellencies. Why? Because for from him and through him and to him are all things, to God be the glory. That's the prize. That's what we're doing here. I wonder, do we all, and I mean all of us, need a little bit of a perspective check on this? Our mandate has not changed. The halls of power, they may change, but nothing about God's plan has been altered. Still the same deal. Because we are his chosen people. And this is what we need to understand, that if you and I, through this season of persecution, do not do that job, guess what you'll never have? You'll never have the ability to say, this is the day the Lord has made, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Because the politics can unravel all around you. Everything can swirl and fall apart. But that's not your mission anyway. I'm not saying it's insignificant. It's not your mission. And so you can say, this is still the day the Lord has made. I'm still going to rejoice because his kingdom is expanding. He is marching on. He is reigning. He is in control. And that is my job assignment. So I'm just going to keep doing it with or without liberty, with or without freedom, with or without the lovely accoutrements that he has provided for us to date. If we don't, we won't have joy. Jesus, this is, you want comfort? Go read John 14, 15, and 16. You'll get comfort. Just throw yourself right into that picture because it was written just for you. Jesus tells us that if we obey his commandments, that's when we have what? Joy. What does he want us to do? What's our chief end? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. How do we do that? By obeying Jesus. And so if we are not obeying him, by glorifying him, by speaking his excellencies, you're not going to have joy. You can have a happiness. You can have comfort. You can get yourself a big belly by eating lots of food and enjoying lots of chocolates and good things, but you're not going to have joy. Why? Because we're not about the assignment that God has created us for, not just assigned to it. He's made us for this purpose. Our job description is to glorify him and enjoy him forevermore. And until you do that, you will not find joy. Consider Psalm 16, 8 through 9, and about a gazillion other verses. We are here for a reason. And it is not to just enjoy the fruits of liberty. They are a blessing, and we thank him for that. Nevertheless, we need to join Timothy, who joined Paul, who joined Jesus in suffering well to proclaim his excellencies. Are you exhausted? Mike, you were telling me some people are emailing in going, I'm poopticated.
Absolutely.
I'm out of prayer juice. Okay. I get it. You're tired. That's understandable. You're discouraged. You know what? That's okay to mourn. Don't do it sinfully. It's okay to mourn. Take that time.
Well, and certainly don't think that the devil's victorious.
Well, of course. That, I think, got taken care of a couple thousand years ago.
Exactly.
Clearly. And this is why now, just maybe, if you're really needing comfort and you need some gas in your tank, let me just encourage you, run over and read Revelation. Whoa, that book, it's so hard. Nope, that's the book that says, here's the future. This is exactly what's going to happen. How many times has God predicted the future and fulfilled it? Hundreds of times. We've seen that in the Old Testament. He fulfills it in the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything has happened the way that he said it was going to happen. And now the book of Revelation tells us exactly how it's going to happen. Go read it. Guess what? Christian, you're on the winning side. God wins. He will reign forever and ever and ever. And you get to reign with him. It's going to happen. So this kingdom that is on this planet that appears to be crumbling, don't panic. You're in the eternal kingdom. Read the book of Revelation. Find comfort, find energy, mourn, and have joy. All together. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Should Joe Biden become president after recounts in court cases involving allegations of massive election fraud, he says he will sign an executive order 1 week into his potential presidency that will force American taxpayers to fund Planned Parenthood. Even though Biden may not be certified as the new president, he has already formed a presidential transition team, and that team has released a set of priorities of the first things he would do in office. On the list is a promise to reverse President Donald Trump's Protect Life rule that makes sure taxpayers aren't forced to fund groups like Planned Parenthood that perform and promote abortions in other countries. Biden, his supporters, and the liberal media are endlessly promoting the theme that Biden will foster healing America, but forcing Americans to fund killing babies is hardly an effort that will heal divisions in this country. But overturning the pro-life rule would make good on a pro-abortion promise Biden made during the election. During a town hall in South Carolina, Biden confirmed that one of his first acts as president would be sticking taxpayer dollars behind the global abortion agenda. An audience member attending the town hall asked Biden what he would do to empower women in poor countries to address overpopulation. Instead of empowering women, Biden said he would fund the promotion and performance of abortions overseas. He said, quote, "I strongly oppose the limitations on the ability for the United States to contribute to organizations in these countries that in fact provide women's health alternatives for choice. We should end that limitation. It's called the Mexico City rule. We should end that." Radical Muslims have put up posters in the city of Karachi in Pakistan that offers a reward for any Muslim who kills a particular Christian activist who is the father of three who fled to an undisclosed location in Thailand. Faraz Pervez, who's known for speaking out for minority Christians after a mob looted and destroyed at least 116 houses and two churches in Pakistan's Lahore city in 2013, fled to Thailand after videos, caricatures, and statements by him and his father went viral on social media in 2014. As a result, Pakistan's Tehreek-e-Labbaik political party released a bounty of $62,000 in 2015, which was increased to $124,000 the following year. A radical Pakistani Muslim also released a video calling on every Muslim to find Pervez and his family in Thailand and kill him. Now posters that offer a reward of about $62,800 to kill Pervez have been appearing in Karachi in Pakistan, according to UCA News, which later explained that after the 2013 violence in Lahore, Pervez led protests that, quote, challenged both the politics and theology of Islam, and he presented his interpretations of the Quran and criticized the Prophet Muhammad. The Pakistani government filed a criminal blasphemy case against Pervez in 2017. Although Pakistan is known for imprisoning more people for blasphemy than any other country, Pervez said in a news report earlier that his case was the first instance in the history of Pakistan's blasphemy law that the state itself registered a blasphemy case against someone. Last July, Pervez had to move with his family to a secret location outside of Bangkok. The video made by a Pakistani Muslim refugee called for every Muslim of this world to travel to Thailand's capital of Bangkok and kill Pervez. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1540. The Society of Jesus is approved by the Vatican.
Founded by Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuit order sent out zealous missionaries throughout the world, counteracting the Reformation and bringing Roman Catholic Christianity to the Americas. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Christian, there's still a political battleground. Don't lose hope. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're thinking, oh, here we go. Now we're getting to it. We're going to start talking about what happened in Georgia and Pennsylvania. What happened in Wisconsin and Arizona. That's where the battleground is, and we got to win those things. That is not the battleground I'm talking about. There is a political battleground that for you, dear Christian, is so much more important than what's going to happen in Georgia, which, frankly, most likely hijinks and shenanigans. The battleground for you, for me, right now, is our brains. Our brains are the battleground. This is where the spiritual war rages. This is where you and I will either have victory or defeat. 2 Corinthians 10. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of God. If you're fretting, if you're worrying, you're so disturbed. You're not just mourning. You're not just aware, oh boy, I need to think through some things. What'll happen if? Those are all valid considerations. You can take it as far as you choose to. Don't go Jimmy Baker far. Don't go Glenn Beck far. The point is, you do it whatever you think is best to prepare for the future. But the battleground that you and I are in right now is whether or not we will have thoughts of appropriate mourning, disappointment and sadness, and joy, so that we can proclaim the excellencies of God through a season that is going to be rather sour, or so it appears. Your brain is either going to be dominated by Fox News, CNN, whatever it is that you're consuming, whatever the tweets are, and you are going to whiplash back and forth. And you have, haven't you? Come on, we all have. You went to bed, it looked really good, you woke up, and it's like, what happened here? Then you start hearing, ooh, guess what? It's okay, because even though the bad guy won, really, maybe we should say the bad gal. And by the way, have no problems talking about their character in those terms. Because these, we're talking about people who want to slaughter babies and take away freedoms. That's what we're talking about here. The psalm, any of them are not gun shy in talking about people who do bad things. We're starting to maybe get that a little bit more. Nevertheless, you saw that and you went from here to there. Oh, I had joy. And well, I lost it. Wait a second. The lawsuits have been filed. Hey, did you see that one video? That one woman, she was in the conference call with Donald Trump, and it looks like things are going to get, they're filing lawsuits. Oh, did you see about in Gwinnett County in Georgia? There were 180,000 ballots. Do you know that there were 300,000 more people voting in Gwinnett County in Georgia that are actually registered? Did you see the one about the guy up in Michigan? Dead people are voting. Oh, wait a second. He wants us to wear a mask when we walk outside of the house. Whoa,
who boing. Told you what I did this weekend?
Zing, pow. You, what you did this weekend?
Yeah.
You went leafing.
Leafing, yeah.
Oh, that a boy. You
no,
caught
you,
on.
You basically just described everything I did this weekend.
Yeah, we just, that's very easy. And what I don't think is right is to just say to people, unplug, don't follow it. You're an adult. Figure out your life. I have enough to figure out mine. But we need to let the Bible guide us through this a little bit. Our brains are the battleground. That is the center. That's your connective tissue between your spirit and your physical body. And they are no doubt connected. And if you're filling up your noggin with all kinds of, with this, or it depends on what your news feed is. We went to check out, is it called, I think, Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, Parler is supposedly
a new social
alternative
media?
To Facebook.
Yeah, there's a mass exodus from conservatives on Facebook to Parler.
Yeah, okay. So by the way, so we were just researching it to consider, is that where the ministry should be? Should we start posting stuff? You know, that conversation. Yeah. And so I pulled up Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R, and right, Wikipedia's like, this is a concoction of kooky conservatives who get together to spew their liberal or their crazy theories. Oh, I see. Must be pretty good then.
Yeah, that's us.
Because if Wikipedia's talking like that, and that's the first thing that pops up in my feed. Nevertheless, it depends on what hits your brain. Now, the question is, how are you going to deal with the stuff that hits your brain? Because you can try to turn it off and you can't. You can't. You can't escape it. You'll get a billboard. You'll see a sign. Somebody will send you a tweet. You didn't ask them to, and they did. You'll read something from a congressman, and you go, oh, great. Oh, no. Do you know what he's planning now? And by the way, just a reminder, if all of the things that are being promised now from the presumptive president of the United States next, don't forget to thank one of the evangelicals who said, how you vote's no big deal. Make sure you thank him. For what's the first thing coming that is the promise now, Mike, at the moment?
Masks as soon as you walk out the door.
Thank you, evangelical think tank that told us not to worry about anything when it comes to voting because they're just all so evil. When I read about the plans for the revolution that is coming when it comes to sexual issues, gender issues, 8-year-olds being given a thumbs up by the next presumptive president of the United States. Oh, boy. Thank you. Thank you, evangelical geniuses who helped us to rethink how we go about the business of voting. Thank you. I'm really happy about the way that we've rethought all of these issues because we're so much smarter than we were. Thank you. When more babies are dying, thank you. The battleground of the Christian is the mind. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you think that you cannot glorify God, which is our chief end, that is why we are here. How you think will glorify him or will detract from his glory. Even as you sit in a jail cell, having been imprisoned just for being something Christian or acting in a Christianly way, witnessing to somebody, you can still glorify him with how you're thinking about him and how you're thinking about your scenario. How's about your words? How you talk through these issues is going to be a testimony and will give God glory or it will detract. Now remember, God has intrinsic glory. That's going nowhere. But he created a physical universe to give him extrinsic glory outside the external stuff that you and I were made to do. We are his workmanship. By the way, all of creation is. All of creation testifies to God's glory. All of it. Every pebble that is underground that you can't see, it is giving God praise because it exists. Why? Because he made it. You give him the maximum amount because you are the top of the creative heap. Don't forget that, Christian. And so we have a responsibility to be thinking, because we've got these noggins, to glorify God. And you can do it with your brain and you can do it with your tongue. That no unwholesome word proceeds from your mouth, but words that are good for edification, building up. Are you building up or are you tearing down your family? How are you talking about it? Huh? Do you ever see this? I don't think that wearing a mask outside is a necessary thing. That's my opinion. Okay? This has nothing to do with what the government tells us to do. It just seems that you see kids out in a field playing and they're just running around and they've got a mask on. And I just go, oh boy, what are those parents teaching their kids? Saw that this weekend when we went leafing, which apparently is a Midwestern term, because when I came into the office to say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? I know what I went leafing and I got looked at like I had three eyes in front of my face.
Doesn't even make sense.
Leafing. It's apparently a Minnesota term. You go leafing. We went leafing. So we're in this really sweet little town in northern Georgia. It's called Blue Ridge. It's right in the mountains. It's really sweet. Little on the touristy side, but nevertheless, if you like walking up and on the street looking at knickknacks and paddywhacks, it's not quite the Wisconsin Dells in that regard or Dollywood. Nevertheless, I saw a dad yelling at his son, who appeared to be about 12 years old, get that mask on, in a complete panic outside. And I thought, wow, what is he teaching that kid? Hold the phone, Henrietta. When you and I are talking about the political situation in harsh tones, nasty tones, very fearful tones, what are we telling our kids? What are we teaching them with our words, with our unwholesome words, not edification words? I will guard my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence, said the psalmist. The one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You and I have some choices to make as we enter into this season of whoo. Are we going to glorify God with our thoughts, with our works, with our words, with our minds, with our being? Everything can go haywire out there, but there are most certainly things that we can control in here. This is Wretched Radio.
It's here. It's here. Road Trip to Truth is finally here. We know you've been waiting patiently, but it is finally here. Join host John Ferbarez on his journey to find answers on the topics of evolution, depression, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of God, and of course, truth itself. Not only can you purchase the 13 full-length episode show, you can also purchase the Bible study course, perfect for middle schoolers through adults. Don't believe us? Maybe you'll take Tim Challey's word for it. He says, quote, for too long, too much of the material prepared for young folk has been insultingly shallow and embarrassingly trite. What makes it even worse is that many young people are crying out for solid content while their youth leaders serve them nonsense. I'm thankful that Road Trip to Truth unashamedly and effectively deals with real, meaty, life-changing truths of the Christian faith. So visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copies. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Did you know for the last 15 years, Wretched has produced 3,000 episodes of Wretched TV airing on 135 Christian TV networks, 20,000 hours of Wretched Radio airing on 812 Christian radio networks, countless hours of evangelism on university campuses, 5 books, 4 evangelistic booklets, 20 Bible studies, multiple TV series and specials including Life is Best, Untethered, What Hath Darwin Wrought, On the Shoulders of Giants, and Road Trip to Truth. But buckle up, we're just getting started. With your support, we can accomplish our goal of getting our Lord's gospel heard round the world. So would you please join the amazing and dedicated Wretched team by becoming a gospel partner, and you have our word that we will continue to work hard and frugally and as if our souls depend on it. Please become a gospel partner, buckle up, and let's reach millions together. Visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to 44321.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are you battening down the hatches of your brain. This is Wretched Radio. Who knows what God has preordained regarding the election, the recount, the lawsuits? Who knows? Time will tell what God has predetermined. Along the way, you and I can either glorify God or not. No matter what goes on out there, the intention of this universe is to bring God glory. Why? Because he is beyond our imagination, the best thing in the universe. Think about your favorite dessert. What is it? What do you just go, oh, okay, I'll, you know what? I just thought of mine. Gentlemen, what's your favorite, like your food that causes you to go,
pound cake.
Pound cake.
Yeah,
pound
plain cake. Plain old pound cake.
Without strawberries or butter or nothing?
I mean, I could add some strawberries, but I prefer it plain.
I love cherry pie.
This is a bad experiment.
Sorry,
cherry? Did I hear cherry?
Cherry pie.
I don't like pies at all.
Cherry pie.
Yes, I'm not a cake person.
Cherry pie. That's fascinating. Cherry jam. Are you a cherry jam person?
I've never had cherry jam.
Smucker, you're going to like it, but you're only going to love 2/3 of the Smuckers. Here's why. I think that when they put the whole cherries into the Smuckers jam, Smuckers, which is actually, I think, better jam than the fancy schmancy stuff, but I think that when they put it in, while it's congealing or whatever it does to get like solid so it's not all runny, they tip it upside down because all the cherries are on the top. So you open up a new jar of Smuckers and it's like, all these cherries! Then about a third of the way down, it's nothing but just syrup. You'll just love 2/3 of Smuckers. It's what you're going to love. All right, when you do the cherry pie,
yes,
is it that dreadful stuff that comes in a can?
I believe so.
Ugh. You gotta use real stuff if you're gonna do
that. I don't really get it homemade. I buy them already made. So
I'm gonna guess your dessert is probably something to do with cinnamon.
Popcorn.
Banana bread.
Popcorn.
Popcorn kills any dessert. I could eat popcorn every day.
And then just regular one. Do you cover it with butter?
Of course. Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
And salt. It's just a carrier. That's all it is. It's butter is nothing but a semi truck filled with salt and butter. That's all it is. Just delivering the goods. That's what it was meant for. I could eat it every day, and I'm not alone. There are popcornaholics out there. These are people who just, no matter what style, shape, size, they eat it. That's me. All right?
Does it not get stuck in your teeth?
Sure it does.
Of course it does. Oh. That you know what? That way, the next day when you find a hull shoved in the roof of your mouth, you go, that was a good bowl. Anyone got a tweezers? Because I got something really stuck going on right now. There's something that you just love. And that you desire to tell people, and you'll argue over it. Okay, so we argue, pound cake, that's not right. And Mike's going, well, pound cake is the best thing. Why? Because he loves it so much. In a trite sort of way, God is supposed to be that. He's supposed to be the one that we're singing about. Better than a dessert. He's the altogether lovely one. He's beyond our imagination good. And if you even struggle or perhaps hear that sentiment as a cliche, maybe that is why God is doing this in the election for you. Remember, it's all custom designed. God is designing everything just for you. You want to talk about fruit? You're not the cherry of his eye. You're the apple of his eye because you're in Christ. So he's doing this election, whatever it is, just for you. So that maybe you'll start talking about him more than you talk about pound cake. I'm not pointing fingers, Mike. I just wanted to use it as an illustration.
No, it's a good one.
Uh-huh. But it's true.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen men sit around. They'll talk for hours about politics or like we did with desserts. But you bring Jesus up. Let's talk theology.
Yeah, it can go away really quiet. Fast. Yeah, oh, sports.
Sports is another big one, yeah.
But we should be remembered. And that doesn't mean you never talk about it. Let's not whiplash. But if we are not thinking that Jesus is as interesting as politics or interesting as football, we really need a correction. We really need something to happen, perhaps externally, to get us focusing internally. And that is perhaps what is going on. Maybe, just maybe, you've heard the sermons. These were easy sermons to digest when everything was sweet. You know, in America, we have an awful lot of abundance. And we're really, really blessed here. And we go, yeah, we sure are. And we take it for granted. And maybe, just maybe, the allurement of peace, the allurement of prosperity it has perhaps caused you and me, no doubt about it, to think less about God and relax and enjoy stuff and not glorify Him and not speak about Him and not dwell on Him. If everything gets ripped away from you, brother, if everything gets taken away from you, sister, what are you going to have? You're going to have Jesus. That's it. You are going to have Jesus. Here's the trick, that we have nothing but Jesus now. Does that mean we move into a monastery? No, we live in and we enjoy the stuff that He provides for us. But any time that that light shines brighter than His, then we've got to dim it. We've got the wrong perspective on it. It doesn't mean we trash it. It doesn't mean we get rid of it. That's what they did in the Middle Ages. No, we learn to love Him more because of it, but we don't love it and then fail to be grateful and thankful and glorify Him through it. That's the tricky balance of the Christian life. That is no easy deal. And maybe, just maybe, God is using this to prepare your heart, to change it, to till up the soil, so that you can be fit for heaven. Let me just take you, if I could. First Peter. I'm thinking that we might be sending this out to everybody. First Peter is the book. This is our... if you're going to be... You've got three books of the Bible you can cut out to take with you to jail. Which three would you take? Probably not First Peter. I would encourage you to take that book. Only five chapters long. It's an easy, you can do it in 10 minutes. It's an easy read, and it is filled with all of the advice you need to prepare for persecution. So if you're going to jail for being a Christian, you're being shut down. Did you lose your job? You mean you can't go in because you didn't do the thing that the government mandates? Oh, what do you got now? Well, you got your Bible, but you can only take three books. So you're probably going to take a gospel. I know, I'll take the Psalms. They'll comfort me. Why don't you take 1 Peter 2? Because it will tell you how you are to live and why you're going through what you are going through. Peter witnessed the beating and crucifixion of Jesus. Peter was put in jail for preaching the gospel. Jesus had promised Peter, this is not going to be a good ending for you. He promised Peter. If Peter were going to abandon Jesus, that's when it should have happened. After he had abandoned Jesus, he'd been restored. Jesus tells him, you're going to die because of me. And Peter stays with it. Peter knew that Paul had been beaten, stoned, left for dead. So here comes the advice that he gave. Join the zealots and reclaim Israel. No. Shelter your investments in a Swiss bank account. No, he didn't do that either. Build a sustainable farm in Montana next to Glenis Beckus. That's the Latin. That's the Roman name for the Glen Beck of his era. Didn't do that. Instead, here it comes. 1 Peter 1. It's all over the place, by the way. Remember your salvation. 1 Peter 1. 1, 2, 9, 12, 18 through 21. Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Through persecution, remember your salvation. Remember your salvation. Why? Because God is bringing glory to Himself through the death and resurrection of His Son. Remember that. Remember that. Remember that. You're gonna lose your job. You haven't lost your soul. You have been purchased with a price. Remember that. Think about heaven. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Chapter 5, verse 10. Grow in holiness. Read your Bible. 1 Peter 2, 2. Love one another. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Remember how Jesus was treated on your behalf. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. Chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Submit to a bad government. Oh. Right there, under the persecution that was coming from the government, Peter says, submit to it. You're not a rabble-rouser. You're not a revolutionary. You aren't the stirring up faction of people. Let the pagans do that. We're not revolutionaries. We submit to the government, even bad ones. Submit to unsaved bosses, 1 Peter 2:18 through 20. Submit to unsaved spouses, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. Prepare to suffer the same way Jesus suffered, 1 Peter 3, 8. Pray, 1 Peter 4, 7, chapter 5, verse 7. Pastors are to be good shepherds. Fascinating to me. I used to wonder, why is that in there? Why 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4, it's making sense. all these things, behave like a sanctified, holy, set-apart people, so that people will ask about the Lord that you that is sanctified in your heart, that they might know about the hope that lies within you. And then you get chapter 5 about the pastor, how you're supposed to treat the sheep. You know why? Because persecution should cause us little sheep to run for that under-shepherd and find safety and joy and protection in the local church. Pastors are to be good shepherds. Submit to your elders, 1 Peter 5:5. Submit to God. Resist temptation, 1 Peter 5:6. That is what we're supposed to be doing in light of persecution. And might I just suggest to you, if you want to do something practical, something that you could really shore up, become a member of your local church. Get plugged in, because I'm telling you, when persecution gets bad enough, that's the place you will be skedaddling. Don't wait. Get there now. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.